This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Run Happy just keeps coming at him past the 16th pull. Run Happy, and boy, does this horse love to run. The aptly named Run Happy for Edgar Prado to take it.
Also sponsored by Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, Double Diamond Farm, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Gulfstream Park, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Kirkwood Stables, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, RacehorseDraft.com, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Sunrise Stallions, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
But there's no catching Wedding Toast. Wedding Toast, much the best here, all the way in the Beldame.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by our friends at Lane's End. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, with you once again on this Saturday morning, February 20th, 2016. And we continue our coverage of Gulfstream's championship meet here at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. Gorgeous morning. Temperatures already in the low 70s. Supposed to be on our way to the mid-70s later this afternoon for today's feature race, which is the $75,000 Melody of Colors Stakes, a field of 8 3-year-old fillies sprinting 5 furlongs on the firm turf. It will go as race 11, 5:28 Eastern, which means it will go a little past 5:28. Our coverage kicks off at 5:30 Eastern time, and you'll hear that race exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. JT, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here. What a nice day. No breeze?
No.
That's what makes it cold here, when it gets breezy.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful.
Like yesterday.
Yes, very
cold.
Windy.
Yeah,
very
cold.
It wasn't cold.
Let's keep it in perspective.
But cool.
Right.
It was very breezy here yesterday. Windy, actually. But today, it's very still. We got smattering of blue sky here and there. It's a beautiful morning at Gulfstream. Got a solid card here this afternoon. We got a great card at Fairgrounds. Derby prep. It's very exciting to be in racing today.
Big carryover here at Gulfstream today.
Huge.
Too, with the 20 cent Rainbow Six.
$1.4 million. $1.4 million today.
Races 7 through 12. So we hope you're doing your handicapping there, and hope you can take down that $1.4 million carryover, which means the pot's going to be much higher than that. And it's a great bet because you can play it for 20 cents, and you can play a lot of different combinations.
Yeah, even if you bet 20 cents.
Yeah.
Right? Take a shot for a quarter.
Why not, right?
Yeah, it's better than the lotto. You have some control over it anyway.
Well, again, we're here for the Melody of Colors this afternoon, and we are welcoming everybody this morning on Sirius XM 93 and everyone tuning in on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and, of course, streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Stay tuned. Later in the program, a major announcement from the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll call it an historic announcement here on the show. It is something that we have never been able to talk about before. It is going to come to fruition here in just a couple of weeks, and you're going to hear that announcement later in the first half of the program, so make sure you stay with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Very excited about that, and we've got a lot of things to look forward to on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah, and this is a bit of a, let's call it a quieter day here at Gulfstream with the championship meet, because I mentioned just the one stakes on tap this afternoon with that $75,000 Melody of Colors. Next week, though, is going to be a completely different scenario. We start to really ramp up that road to the Kentucky Derby with the Fountain of Youth Stakes here at Gulfstream next Saturday, another race you'll hear exclusively with us here on the network. And, Drew, we're going to see some big names going to the post in that one, including a horse that many people feel is the leading Derby candidate right now, and that's Mohey Men.
Yeah, Mohey Men, just really a fantastic horse. A little guy with a big heart and a great stride, and he's been training super. Kieran McLaughlin, very high on him.
Loves where he is right now,
yeah,
too.
And rightly so. I mean, the horse has done nothing wrong. He's made no mistakes. And, you know, it's going to be a great Florida Derby if everybody stays in one piece and arrives here for that.
Yeah, so. Nyquist, the undefeated juvenile champion who returned last week in the San Vicente Stakes, and really, I thought, made a nice statement in that race and said, okay, you want to doubt the champ? Well, the champ is back. And I know it was only 7 furlongs, but that was an impressive win last week.
It really was, because he actually made the lead in the race. And what was really impressive after the race, and I don't know, not too many people picked up on this, but trainer Keith DeSormo, his quote after the race, he didn't talk about his horse, Exaggerator. He said, well, if people aren't a believer in Nyquist now,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's how impressive he was. When the other trainers are talking about the winner of the race with glowing terms, you know he's an unbelievable horse. And I mean, you know, it's not, it doesn't come as a surprise to anybody. Anybody that saw the Breeders' Cup Juvenile had to be impressed with that race. I mean, the horse looked like he had no chance to win at any time and ended up winning. This race, kind of an exact opposite of tactics. It's very hard to go from a route race where you came from dead last or way back in the pack to
in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Right,
yeah.
Making the lead in a 7-furlong race on your comeback and holding on for the victory. I mean, it's a very outstanding performance there. And Doug O'Neill did a masterful job having that horse ready off the bench.
And we won't see him again until the Florida Derby, all things being equal.
Right?
That will be his next start.
That's the current plan. Doug said the horse came out of the race great. He was very happy with him. He ate up. His legs were cold. And so, you know, looking forward to seeing him down here. That's going to be one hell of a race.
And as you alluded to a short time ago when we first came on the air, the Derby Trail is winding through the bayou today at the fairgrounds with the Grade 2 Risen Star Stakes on tap. And then, of course, the road to the Kentucky Oaks in full swing as well with the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes. Tremendous program today at the fairgrounds. And you take a look at the Risen Star. 12 horses are going to go to the post. It was originally 13, but announced yesterday that Dolphus would not go for trainer Joe Sharp. So we're down to 12 in that Risen Star. It's a race historically that you would say, okay, any horse that runs in this race, more than likely not going to be a factor on the first Saturday in May, because it has only produced one Kentucky Derby winner has the Risen Star, and you have to go back to War Emblem in 2002 to find that horse, and of course he finished 6th in the Risen Star that year. Conversely, the Rachel Alexandra has really been a good prep for the Kentucky Oaks. When you look at horses like Untappable and Summerlee and Silver Bullet Day, Blushing KD, all horses that pulled off that Rachel Alexandra Kentucky Oaks double.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point. I don't put a lot of stock in those types of things because every race is different, and you know, Fairgrounds has changed a lot over the years. A lot of trainers have kind of gotten away from going down there in the winter, so maybe the fields aren't as strong. But I'll tell you what, this race looks pretty salty. I mean, Mo Tom is a very, very good horse. I think he proved that in the LeComp. I mean, he was just visually impressive in that race. You know, you've got Aero Force, who's really done nothing wrong. He's had a lot of people on his bandwagon since he won the Kentucky Jockey Club. He did have that little hiccup where he missed a race, but he's come back and trained well. You know he's going to be on the muscle and ready to roll. Gun Runner is a very nice horse who won his first two starts and then maybe didn't like the slop so much in the Kentucky Jockey Club, but he's another horse that the pundits are all over. And then Uncle Walter, who Mr. Ramsey calls a big sleeper.
He does.
And,
he likes that horse.
He likes Uncle Walter. And, you know, Uncle Walter's been in the money in all three of his starts, and he's coming around. He ran two turns for the first time in the LeComp, finished third, ran a pretty creditable race in a tough field. And, you know, so you look at those horses, and then there's other horses in the race, too. Those are maybe the top contenders in the race, but there's a lot of other horses. Tom's Ready, who ran second to Mo Tom, owned by the same group. And, you know, he's a very nice horse. And Zamperini's another horse that a lot of people are interested in. So it's a pretty deep field this year, and it wouldn't be shocking to me if the Derby winner was in there.
Well, you mentioned the name Gunrunner for trainer Steve Asmussen. He will be accompanied to the post in today's Risen Star by jockey Florent Giroux. And after our first commercial break, we're going to be joined by Florent's agent and former racing secretary here at Gulfstream Park. That is Doug Bradar. He joins us in just about 4 or 5 minutes from right now. He's going to talk about all of Florent's mounts today, and he has a mount in nearly every race at the fairgrounds. We'll talk to Doug about that. You'll hear some interesting things as to how he goes about putting Florent on some of those big mounts, and they're coming off of a stellar year. Looking forward to that visit with Doug in just a few minutes. Eddie Woods is going to be with us at right around 8:35 Eastern, of course, the longtime consigner. He does a phenomenal job at so many of the horse sales, and so many of the great horses you've seen over the years have come through the Eddie Woods consignment. He'll join us right around 8:35 Eastern. Ed DeRosa from Brisnet.com is going to be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Our good friend Billy White from Jimmy John's in Lexington, Kentucky, will stop by for a visit around 9:30 Eastern time. You won't want to miss that. He has some breaking news regarding a brand new restaurant in the Lexington area that you can look forward to attending if you're in town or if you're coming to town for the Keeneland Race Meet in April. You won't want to miss it. He'll do that right around 9:30 Eastern. And Dallas Stewart at the end of the program at 9:44. He sends out a couple of horses at the fairgrounds today, including Tom's Ready, runner-up in the LeCompte last time out. He'll look to turn the tables on Motom later this afternoon. Very, very busy show. We'll kick it off next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Adina Springs stallion Mucho Macho Man was a precocious 2-year-old, finishing runner-up in both the Grade 2 Nashua and Grade 2 Remsen, despite being a June 15th foal. As a 3-year-old, Mucho Macho Man displayed his classic ability with an impressive win in the Grade 2 Risen Star before a game third-place finish in the Kentucky Derby. As an older horse, Mucho Macho Man dominated his competition with Grade 1 wins in the Awesome Again, Suburban, Gulfstream Park Handicap, and Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mucho Macho Man and Gary Stevens as they take the Grade 1 Awesome Again in effortless fashion.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126 Suburban.
And Mucho Macho Man has won the Gulfstream Park Handicap.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
An earner of $5.6 million, Mucho Macho Man's first foals arrived this spring. Learn more by visiting AdinaStallions.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of 3 Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March on Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
A multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million, AlterNation reeled off 4 consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation, just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match stride with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation. At Pin Oak Stud.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit NicholsonInsurance.com. You gotta know Joe. A multiple Eclipse champion with more than $6.1 million in earnings.
How about that? Gio Ponte will go back to the winner's circle today.
Gio Ponte's first crop of yearlings were in high demand, while a colt by Gio Ponte topped the first session of the OBS Fall Mixed Sale, selling to Conquest Stables after working 3/8 and 33 flat. All of this coming on the heels of his impressive maiden winner, Pirolone, at Belmont Park. Champion Gio Ponte standing at Castleton Lions.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Top of the stretch, 3/4, 1:12, and 3/5 seconds, it's Stage Play. Stage Play has taken the lead here in the final furlong. It's Stage Play, putting her best foot forward. Pulls clear from Midnight Don O'Connie, then Lovable Elizabeth, Jet Black Magic buying for third. Well inside the final half furlong, it's Stage Play with a win on the wire in the Silver Bullet Day. Stage Play from Midnight Don O'Connie, Gamely. Jet Black Magic edged out Lovable Elizabeth for third. Stage Play, the Curlin filly at 3/5, 1:43, 3/5.
John G. Dooley with the call of Stage Play, winning the Silver Bullet Day at the Fairgrounds on January 16th. A nice win that day. She was ridden by Florent Giroux, who was back aboard this afternoon in the Rachel Alexandra Stakes, trying to pull off a win in that Grade 1. And, hey, who could doubt Stage Play and Florent Giroux, because they were so impressive last time out. Florent is going to be a very, very busy man at the Fairgrounds this afternoon. He has a mount in nearly every single race on the program, including every stakes race, and that includes all four graded stakes races this afternoon. And we are joined now by his agent, Doug Bradar, a former racing secretary here at Gulfstream Park, among other tracks. But he's been involved as Florent's agent for a few years now, and boy, the success that they have had has just been almost unparalleled, coming off the best year of their young career, ranked 32nd nationally with 175 wins in 2015. And how about this? Florent earned more than $10 million in purses, which saw him finish 13th nationally in that category. Of course, he won a couple of Breeders' Cup races last year. Oh, and the Arlington Million. So, Doug, things are going pretty well, my friend.
Very much so. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, welcome to the program. All right, what's the secret?
A lot of hard work. I mean, I met him 6 years ago at Gulfstream Park through Patrick Biancone, and we were virtual unknowns. I mean, people knew me, but they didn't know Florent very well. And we've worked hard, and he's done an amazing job. He's gotten to become one of the elite riders in North America.
You know, it's interesting, because I can remember when you made the move from being behind the desk as the racing secretary to going on the other side of the desk as a jocks agent. And look, there was some uncertainty. You didn't know how it was going to go. You didn't know you were going to get a guy like Florent and that things were going to shape up the way they have. You know, when you look back on that move, you have to be thrilled with the way it's all come together.
Absolutely, Mike. I mean, in my wildest dreams, I didn't think we'd reach this type of level this quickly. I mean, it took us a long time. We went back to Chicago after that initial 1/57 meet at Gulfstream. And slowly but surely, Florent started honing his skills and getting a little better at this and that, and he got on better horses. And yeah, in the early days, I probably questioned whether this was a good career choice or not, to change, you know, midstream in the middle of my life to try something completely different. But the skill sets are a lot different, but it's still horse racing, and I've enjoyed this ride as much as anything in my entire life. It's really been special.
Michelangelo said that the statue was always in the rock. He just let it out. And obviously, Florent always had talent, but you're the one that let that talent out. How hard is it to have a virtually unknown jockey and present him to trainers and make a case for using him when nobody knows who he is or what he can do?
Oh, it's tough. It really is. I mean, in the beginning, I remember I used to be thrilled. The nouns would come out for a stake, and if I could just get him on a horse, I was really excited. And then slowly but surely, you reach a point where I started putting him on better and better horses, and I needed him to take his game to the next level, and he did, which was the really exciting part, because no matter how good of a job and how many connections and how many people I know, if he doesn't take care of the horse and do the right things during the race, the business is going to wash up pretty quickly. So he got better as I got better as an agent, and we make a really good team. Someone told me the other day that they really thought you just see the camaraderie and you see the teamwork that we put together. We make a very good team.
Doug, you mentioned you getting better as an agent. Tell me about that learning curve.
It was challenging. I mean, I went from, you know, I knew a lot about being a racing secretary, but I mean, most of the time you're in control of a lot of things. I was, you know, writing the condition book, allotting stalls, determining which races would go, determining, you know, the set of the races, hustling which races you wanted to go. Very, very different skill set than, you know, now I'm in the trenches and I'm trying to work with numerous trainers. And you know, juggling their personalities, my personality, making sure that my jock is there for workers, and doing things that are very, very different than when I was a racing secretary. But I think I've gotten better. I mean, I think in the beginning, I wouldn't say I was green, but I definitely had a lot to learn. And now I've become, I think, a pretty good agent.
Well, it's one of those areas in racing where you have to be multi-talented, and that usually, almost every job in racing is like that, but you've got to be a great handicapper, you've got to be an exceptional politician, you've got to know every horse on the grounds. That probably, being a racing secretary, that probably helped you a little bit in that area, but it's a multifaceted job, and I don't think people really realize how complicated it is.
Without a doubt. I mean, when I was racing secretary, I absolutely kept a really close line on my horse stock, but I didn't really care who won the race. I just wanted to make sure that I would write a book that was for the proper horses on the property, and that we would fill and get, you know, put competitive races together, and that I could get some pick six carryovers and get some interest in the cards. I mean, I created that Stars of Tomorrow card at Churchill Downs, which has been an incredible success. So yeah, I was looking for the bigger picture. And now, yeah, there's days where I'll look and I'll be like, I'm so blessed. I mean, I have to be able to pick from these three horses, and I think they're going to be maybe the top three favorites in the race, or close to, you know, being three of the better horses in the race. So, yeah, it's so different than before.
What tools do you use when you're doing all this? Do you use the sheets? What past performances do you use? Do you have a notebook? How do you go about your business and trying to ferret out the right horse for Florent to ride?
I work with a website called trainerdata.com, owned and operated by Ed Tucker from New Jersey. He's a close friend of mine. A lot of the agents have it now. When it first came out, I think I was one of the first ones to have it, but now it's pretty much across the country. Tons of horsemen have it. Tons of agents have it. But it helps me immensely when I need to pull up a certain trainer's all the horses in their barn, their inventory. If we're going somewhere out of town, I might look up some things. But I use his speed figures. I also use buyer speed figures if it's really close. I have a strong relationship with Florent. We discuss a lot of things. I think that most agents probably make a lot more decisions on their own, but when I've got a really tough decision, I welcome his input, especially like on first-time starters, because I'm not on the horse. So I'll ask him, what do you think? And, I mean, we've had some torturing decisions sometimes to do we take this one or that one. But more often than not, between the two of us putting our heads together, we usually go with the right horse.
Doug, I want to spend some time here, just a few minutes, talking about some of the horses that Florent will ride, especially in the greatest stakes at Fairgrounds this afternoon. But I mentioned at the top of the interview that he has a mount in nearly every race. He's even named to ride two horses in the sixth race today. How good is this kid?
it's nice to be in a position now where the trainers are calling me. I have a good line on what's going on. I mean, when we first got started, I mean, I would beg, borrow, and steal and almost give away unborn children that Kate and I didn't even have to try and get a good mount. But no, we're in a really, really blessed position right now. The trainers are calling me. Yeah, we're just loaded today. I mean, this is one of those days that you just can't wait for the day to get started.
All right, let's start with the Grade 3 Mineshaft and Jessica's Star for Michael Stidham. This is a horse that maybe Florent isn't necessarily familiar with, because you look back in the past performances and you don't see his name as one of the jockeys aboard Jessica's Star in her previous outings. So with a mount like this, how does this come about?
Well, I wasn't even sure if that particular horse was going to be entered, but we ride a lot of horses for Mike Stidham and his crew. They do a great job. And basically, this horse ended up getting put in very late. I want to say it might have been a hustle from the racing office. They were short on entries. The race had four in it most of the morning. And I was open. Mike gave me a call, said, can Florent do the weight? I said, he sure can. He'll come super close to 112. And I think that was one of the main factors that he's also light. So we'll give it a try. I mean, we're one of the longer shots on the board, but learned a long time ago, you got to be in the race to have a shot to win it.
Well, we heard the rejoin clip of Stage Play winning the Silver Bullet Day with Florent aboard last time out. That was the first time he was aboard that Daughter of Curland, and all went according to plan, and he retains the mount again this afternoon for the Rachel Alexandra. So look at Stage Play and tell me a little bit about her and that mount.
We think that she's just a really, really special horse. Obviously, I've never been on her, but from the comments that Florent and Steve both mentioned, she's very professional. Florent has always been quoted as saying that she just does everything right. You know, for a young horse, she was brought up the right way. The people that broke her and did her early training, I believe, really were high on her as well. And we have big dreams with her. I know that Songbird is a very, very special horse in California, but hopefully we won't have to meet her until the first Friday in May. And our filly is really, really doing well. She worked in company with Gunrunner the other day and gave Gunrunner everything he could handle.
Well, that's quite a compliment to her, and Steve Asmussen holds all the bullets, and their Royal Obsession looks pretty good as well. But Stage Play is a filly that word's been out on her whole life. She's been favored in every race and runs hard every time. So good luck with her this afternoon.
Thank you.
Talking with jockey agent Doug Bradar here on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Doug, the final two greatest stakes, the Grade 3 Fairgrounds Handicap and the Grade 2 Risen Star. You have Chocolate Ride in the Fairgrounds Handicap and then Gunrunner for Steve Asmussen in the Risen Star. Look at those two horses.
Chocolate Ride is just so professional. Since Brad has claimed him, he's just really turned over a new leaf. I believe he had some feet issues early in his career, and Brad has given him the time off and done the right things by him, and he just loves this turf course. I mean, there's nothing that you can say. You look at the stats, and I mean, he just runs his eyeballs out here. So I think he's obviously the horse to beat. The morning line maker made him 7-5, so we'll keep our fingers crossed. Obviously, he didn't scare anybody out, so It'll be a challenge. You know, those are the races sometimes that you sweat more than anything. When you're 6 or 8 to 1, the pressure's not on you. But when you're a 7 to 5 shot like Stage Plate or Chocolate Ride, it gets a little scary sometimes. Gunrunner looks like he's going to be a nice animal. I know Steve has had high hopes for him. His only loss was in a very, very competitive stake at Churchill. It was in the slop on an off track. I believe the sky's the limit for him as well. I put a couple bucks on him in the last Kentucky Derby future pool that closed, and I would be surprised if he went off at that big of a price. I think the word's kind of out that he's training well here, and I think he'll give a really good account of himself.
Doug Bradar, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at Embrace the Race. .com. Doug, I'll let you go, but before I do, many people tell us that they think Jude Feld has the best racetrack laugh that you'll find anywhere in the country, but I know my beautiful wife, Michelle, was so excited that I was having you on today because she thinks that your laugh might even rival Jude's. So
I like that. That's good.
As long as we're laughing, we're okay.
A little one.
Hey, Doug's laughing all the way to the bank right now with Florent. Doug, well done, my friend, and keep up the good work and keep it rolling. Say hello to Florent for us, and good luck today.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day.
Yeah, all class. Doug Bradar here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Typically the time now when Jude and I would bring you our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, but because this is a jam-packed program and Eddie Woods has a specific window when he needs to join us this morning because he is sending out his two-year-olds coming up in the phase at Tipton Sale for workouts this morning, we're going to skip the story part of that Lexus Legends of the Turf, but we are going to tell you that if you're in the market for a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle in the Lexington, Kentucky area, and you're in the horse business, there is only one place to go. And I speak from personal experience. I've been telling you for more than a decade on this program that the people at the Lexus store of Lexington truly do make the difference. The Godfather, Tony Attiano, Mike Hendricks, all the great people there. They're horse people. They're involved with the sport. Heck, they have a Keeneland shop right there at the Lexus store. And they're the sponsors of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run every single year at Keeneland. Go see them, the Lexus store of Lexington, and you say, hey, Godfather, the Baron sent me in and told me to say hello.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
The Ladies Only Girls Got Game Betting Challenge presented by Pinnacle Racing Stable is back this Saturday at Gulfstream Park. Come out to Gulfstream's Ten Palms Restaurant and enjoy a delicious buffet lunch and a chance to win the grand prize of a two-night stay at the Diplomat Resort and a spa package for two. And don't forget, on March 19th and 20th, you can compete in the Live Money Ultimate Betting Challenge. Visit GulfstreamPark.com to learn more.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Performance.
And pioneer of the Nile, Garrick Gomez, has won the
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker has produced 11 Grade 1 winners, including two-time Breeders' Cup Distaff winner, multiple Eclipse Champion, and six-time Grade 1 winner, Royal Delta. Other Grade 1 winners by Empire Maker include Emollient, In Lingerie, Country Star, Mushka, Acoma, Icon Project, Last Full Measure, and Grace Hall. The heir of Mr. Prospector's best classic line, Empire Maker, boasts an impeccable pedigree. Out of Broodmare of the Year, Tussauds.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Ready for a new way to play the races? RacehorseDraft.com is the daily fantasy horse racing game offering new tournaments every day for both the novice and avid horse racing fan. Play multiple races for one entry fee while playing for points with no complicated gimmicks or handicapping. Play your favorite jockey or racetrack and compete in survivor pools, head-to-head, free games, and small or large money tournaments. RacehorseDraft.com, fantasy horse racing where you win with your skill. Visit RacehorseDraft.com and play today.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, the most expensive yearling from the Great Pioneer of the Nile's debut crop and a top-class juvenile winning the Grade 2 Nashua before his memorable battle with Eclipse Champion Honor Code in the Remsen. At 3, Cairo Prince was simply sensational in the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, making him the early book favorite for the Kentucky Derby.
Cairo Prince has run away! Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull!
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince. Think about it.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As the field turns for home at the top of the stretch, and it is Big Brown who rolls open now to a three-length lead. Eight Bells' second recapture of the glory. His third tail of the county is fourth. And the final furlong of the Kentucky Derby. And it's going to be Big Brown bounding home to a convincing win in the Run for the Roses. It is Big Brown by five on the wire. The filly Eight Bells was second. Denison Court came from 20th to be third under the line. And tail of the county was fourth. There's the Derby winner, Big Brown, and he delivered today.
Big Brown winning the 2008 Kentucky Derby. Tom Durkin with the call, and boy, what a performance that was. It was 2 weeks after that performance that Big Brown would barrel through Baltimore, as Dave Rodman said. That was the first ever broadcast of the Preakness Stakes on the Horse Racing Radio Network, so Big Brown holds a special place in our heart for sure. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, welcoming you back to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. JT, this afternoon, we continue our coverage of Gulfstream's championship meet with our exclusive broadcast of the Melody of Colors Stakes, which begins at 5:30 Eastern Time. All that coverage presented by First Dude, who is Florida's leading freshman sire, standing at Double Diamond Farm in Ocala. Another sponsor of the coverage is our good friend Eddie Woods with Eddie Woods Stables. And what a job he has done. And I know Big Brown holds a special place in his heart.
Yeah, you would have to think. And, of course, we hearken back to the day Big Brown broke his maiden at Saratoga, and we were so impressed with him. And the expletives were flying that afternoon. But such a great horse, such a classy horse. And it's kind of fitting that we skipped the Legends of the Turf story, because Eddie Woods is a legend of the turf himself.
Well, he certainly is. And when you look at his assignments over the years and his program, you see names like Big Brown and Commentator and Left Bank and Midnight Loot. They have all come from that Eddie Woods program, and he joins us now here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Eddie, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
Look, I mean, you start talking about names like Big Brown and Commentator and Left Bank and Midnight Loot, and the list goes on and on. I'm just scratching the surface. Byern, another one. You have to be just over the moon with the way that things have just progressed for you over the years.
Well, totally thrilled with it. And, just lucky to have been given some good horses and had the pleasure to sell them.
Eddie, what's the key to the longevity that you've experienced and being able to stay at the top level for so long?
I think just moderation, really, at the end of the day. You just got to take everything easy and... just save your bullets for the big day and have something to go on with when you're done.
You're one of those guys that when you're a breeder or an owner and Eddie Woods buys your horse at the sale to Pinhook, it makes you feel really good because you know the horse is going to have the best of care, the best of everything, and you're going to get the most out of that baby. That's a reputation that not a lot of people have that I think you definitely enjoy.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, it certainly is, and Eddie just does a phenomenal job. He's been doing it for a very long time. And Eddie, when you do get a horse into your program, what are some of the key things that you're trying to do with that young horse?
Well, we're trying to educate him, get him looking as best we can get one looking, and have him train him forwardly and have him where he's, when we go to the sales, he's a pleasant picture to the eye of the suspecting buyers, and hopefully he'll show up in the racetrack and perform well where he will sell according to his value.
How long does it take you to know that a horse has that it factor when they do come into your program?
You know, you don't really know until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when they put him in the gate. You just suspect up until that point. And we'll suspect sometime maybe in, mid-January or something when we're starting to work them horses for the first time, going, getting them ready for the early sales, and the good ones show a bit of spark. It's easier to pick out the bad ones than it is the good ones, because the bad ones are kind of on the left foot from day one.
Well, it's interesting you would say that, because let's face it, this sport, no matter how good you are, how much success you've had, is not an exact science, and nobody really knows for sure. Tell me about a horse, and I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit, but tell me about a horse that has really surprised you, where you said, okay, we think this horse is going to be good, but we didn't know he or she was going to be that good.
Well, that'd be Big Brown.
What's his
story? He's a big old boundary colt, big, long-moving, tall, limpy, stretchy horse, looked like a turf horse. I swore he was a turf horse. I was right once, no, twice. He broke his maiden on the turf, and he came back, and he won a second the turf later on at the end, the last race of his career, I believe. And he did serious damage in between, and I never thought that would have happened, to be quite honest.
Well, how important is it to place the horses in the proper sale, and how do you go about that when you've got, 50, 60 horses, you're getting ready for sales? How do you place them?
We have to make our decisions real early in the year, like even before Christmas, basically, as to where we're heading apart from the open sales. And the thing is, you're always trying to place your horse where he's in the top end of whatever sale you're going to. Because the top end of whatever sale you're going to is the top end. And it doesn't matter, the bottom end, even the bottom end of a select sale, it's still the bottom end of a select sale, and things don't happen at the bottom end anywhere. So hence you try and have to space them out. You got to get some of your own horses away from one another. You can't compete against yourself and me in your own shed row, because people only want to buy the top guys, just want to buy the best horse you have. And if you have two, you think the best horses you have, it's not going to work. They're only going to buy the one. Hence, the other horse gets penalized. But if we sell him 2 weeks later in another sale down in OBS in Ocala, and he's the top horse there, well, he's the top horse there. And so we have to just kind of wing it a little bit and do the best job we can early.
We've had a lot of consigners on the show over the years, in the last 10 years, and I've never heard anybody say that about keeping the horses in your own stable apart. I mean, trainers do that all the time, but that's the first time anybody's ever talked about it.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, I never thought about it that way, but that's a really cool concept, and might be part of your huge success.
Hopefully,
Eddie Woods joining us here on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Eddie, you're essentially breaking your maiden here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. It's the first time we've ever had the privilege to have you on the program. So people across HRN Nation and around the world are getting to know Eddie Woods for the very first time. So take us back to the beginning a little bit. Tell us your story and how you first got hooked on horses and on racing.
My dad was a jock and a trainer in Ireland. In 86, I came over here. I had been a jock at home a few pounds ago. Steep as a fighter. And just needed to do something else. You know, when you're a rider and you're done riding, you're qualified for nothing. So we go on, and I got hooked up with the Everards at another episode farm and got into the two-year-old deal there and gradually eased on, got hired by Elmendorf to train their horses by Bobby Spalding, went out on my own. And a guy called Joe Greeley gave me some money to spend at a two-year-old sale to buy yearlings, go to a two-year-old sale, and away we went.
That's fantastic. Did you have initial success?
I've been lucky. It's gone pretty good from the get-go, yeah.
I can imagine, though, Eddie, even though it did go pretty well, there had to be some challenges here and there, right, and some obstacles that you had to overcome at some point. I mean, I think everybody does.
Well, there's never any obstacles when you own a horse, for God's sake. Where have you been?
One of the greatest answers in the history of the show, by the way.
It doesn't matter. Every morning you walk into the barn, there's an obstacle there. You just might not have seen it just yet, but it's coming. And it's just the way it is. You're dealing with animals that are, you know, we have our soundness issues, we have our temperamental issues, we have lots of things going on. So there's always something there.
Yeah, Richard Mandela told us, when you walk into the barn, you know something's going to be wrong. You don't know what it is yet, but you know something's going to be wrong.
Precisely. First thing you do is count your help if they're all there, and then you go from there.
When you were riding jump races, Eddie, you never had to ride with that Clancy fella, did you?
No, he was over here. I was in Ireland and England.
Oh, you're lucky.
Thank God. I needed to stay out of his way anyway.
Eddie Woods here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Eddie, I know it's a busy morning for you, so we won't keep you much longer, but touch on some of the horses here that you're going to have coming up in this Fasig Tipton sale here at Gulfstream Park next week.
What do we have? We got a Tappet Colt I like a lot, got a Beloved. We got the Factor Colt. That's a beautiful big horse. I think the Factor's going to make it. They're all nice. We have a Macho Uno filly that's spectacular, a Broken Vow filly that's also very nice. We're very selective about what we brought down here. There's three or four that didn't make the journey just because they weren't going to be able to compete in our barn again ourselves. So we left them at home and we'll take them to another venue. And basically anything we've taken down here with a good run is liable to turn into anything. You know, we've got a Bernardini colt that's very nice. You know, there's just a good group of horses. We just need things to stack up for us and them to be able to handle the track here in Gulfstream. And it can be a little tricky at times, basically, for a two-year-old.
Well, the Fasig Tipton Florida sale comes up on March 2nd right here at Gulfstream Park. The Under Tack Show is February 29th at 10 a.m. And, of course, Eddie Woods will be a major player in that sale and the upcoming OBS sales in March and April as well. And, Eddie, can't thank you enough for your time here this morning, for all your support of what we're doing here on the network. We can't do it without our sponsors, and certainly appreciate that and look forward to catching up with you again here soon.
Thank you for having me.
Eddie Woods here on HRRN, and like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is truly the apparel of the horse racing lifestyle, and you can embrace your passion at horse racing at embracetherace.com.
Yes, sir.
I was going to say horseracingradio.net. You can embrace your passion there, too.
Absolutely.
You can't get a nice tie like you can at embracetherace.com.
Very nice ties.
Well, Eddie, what a fun guy, huh?
Yeah, I know. He's cool, and he does an excellent, excellent job. I mean, he's a premier bloodstock agent, and you know, you got to admire him because he's a hardworking guy, and he knows his business.
Yeah, so happy to have him as a member of the HRN family, and make sure you do stop by and say hello to Eddie. Tell him you heard him on the program, and take a look at his horses and his consignment because they are always, always very well met. Don't forget the Tonalist, Mr. Speaker, Honor Code, and Liam's Map reinforce the power of Lane's End Stallions. The 2016 roster builds on the Lane's End legacies of AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike. And as the new crop joins the ranks of current standing stallions, Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip, the successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues and it continues at Lane's End. You can visit lanesend.com to learn more. Pontiff, I mentioned that we had a gigantic announcement coming up on the program. We're going to do that after our next commercial break, but this is something that, look, if you're listening right now, obviously you are, make a phone call to all your friends that are horse racing fans, any fans of HRN, any fans of racing at any level, and let them know that they have about 3 or 4 minutes to tune in to the Equine Forum for this announcement, which comes up next.
They're going to like it.
They are going to like it. It's another milestone event for you on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're back to tell you all about it next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Get ready. Here it comes.
The original Create Your Own Pizza Joint is coming to Lexington this February.
What is it?
What is it?
What is it?
Visit UncleMatteo's.com.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay? Along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa. Direct from Washington State, and with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today. Since 1940, the National HPPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HPPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Spendthrift Farm Stallion Malibu Moon has produced more Kentucky Derby contenders this decade than any other sire. His five Derby starters are more than Tappet, Into Mischief, Curlin, Giant's Causeway, Kitten's Joy, and Mineshaft. And Malibu Moon is the only sire among that group to have produced a Kentucky Derby winner.
Down to the wire! Orb has won the Kentucky Derby for Sean McGee!
Malibu Moon standing at Spendthrift. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
On the inside, Dalton Davis running a massive race. Here's Sirius Black, Knight Rider appears as well. Just a fashion white on the outside. Gentlemen Skidding inside the final for long they come. And it's Sirius Krieg and Knight Rider running at him. Sirius Krieg and Knight Rider. Sirius Krieg and Knight Rider. Sirius Krieg and Knight Rider. They're running on a race. They're out the way. Sirius Krieg by life. Very close result between Knight Rider and Dalton Davis. Gentlemen Skidding a beat of favorite. Sirius Black, Just a fashion. Aristodemus, Indiana Jones. And the last one home was Giovinni. They stopped the clock at 153-2. And Rico Walker celebrates his first World Cup win. And does it for Kenneth Sarah Ramsey on Sailors Creek, Linden Yard. They're coming to you.
Sailors Creek winning last year's renewal of the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup for owner Ken Ramsey. He is going to be back again this year in Barbados looking for an unprecedented third consecutive win in the race for an American owner, and we'll see if he can pull it off. One of the horses that's going to be there is the defending champ, Sailors Creek, who, of course, you just heard the call from Barbados from last year. Sailors Creek looking to do it, and along with Watch Your Own Bobber, who is the other horse that Ken will be taking down there this year. So he comes at it with a two-prong attack.
Yeah, he really wants to win it, and looking forward to it. It's going to be a great race.
Well, you're going to be able to hear that attempt at history right here exclusively on the Horse Racing Radio Network, because we will be there to provide exclusive coverage of the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup on Saturday, March 5th, and cannot wait to bring it your way here on the network. Our coverage is going to begin at 3 o'clock Eastern. And why is this such a big announcement? Why is this such an historic event for us here on the network? Well, Jude, we have been the official radio partner of the Breeders' Cup since 2007. We have broadcast the entire Triple Crown on national radio since 2011, and even doing some of the races going back even before that. Our first Belmont Stakes broadcast was in 07. We had the privilege last year of broadcasting the sport's first Triple Crown winner in 37 years, and we had the privilege of partnering with our friends at NBC Sports and Westwood One to do so. We've expanded over the years to include a host of different talk shows and programming and additional race coverage, now providing hundreds, I believe over 800 hours of programming on national radio every single year. We have listeners in more than 160 countries on our website. And so we asked ourselves, what's next? What's next for the Horse Racing Radio Network? And the word that kept popping up was international. We're going to have the opportunity to do that on March 5th, and we will host our very first broadcast from an international venue. And I know you couldn't be happier with the setting.
Well, if I was going to pick one, it would be Garrison Savannah and the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup. Yeah, I'm very excited about it. It's really like a dream come true for me to be able to go down there and broadcast the race. It's a fantastic event. It captivates the whole country. Practically everybody that lives in Barbados goes to the races that day. The biggest race in the Caribbean. And having Mr. Ramsey run a couple, that's going to be fun. Coolmore's going to have a horse in there. Jockeys are coming from all over, and it's just a fantastic event. The first time I went to the Gold Cup, I was just blown away by it. And it's the race to be at in the Caribbean, so really looking forward to it.
Never in our wildest dreams did we expect this to come together. And it's come together very quickly, by the way. And we need to send a special note of gratitude to our good friend Safi Joseph, who, of course, many people know him. He's a trainer here at Gulfstream. He is a native of Barbados. And 2 weeks ago, he joined us on our Trainer Talk program to tell his story. We finished recording the show, which, by the way, we did in his barn, in the office of his barn here at Gulfstream, barn number 7. And Safi looked at us and said, "Have you ever been to Barbados?" And you, of course, said yes. I said no. And he said, "Well, would you like to go?"
Yeah.
He said, "Well,
yeah,
if you insist."
Yeah. I was a little bit more effusive than that.
Yeah, there might have been some other words that we used. But yeah. And then Safi was very kind in helping to coordinate the whole thing with the Barbados Turf Club. And we need to send a special thanks out to Rosette Pierce, who is the CEO of the Barbados Turf Club, for helping us get set up over there and coordinating this. Our coverage is going to be presented by the Barbados Tourism Marketing Incorporated and the Sandy Lane Hotel, which of course is the sponsor of the race, and then one other hotel will be involved, which we'll announce coming up here later this week. But boy, our thanks, we can't wait. It's the Gold Cup right here exclusively on HRN, live from Barbados and Garrison, Savannah on March 5th, and it all begins 3 o'clock Eastern, Sirius Channel 93, and streaming worldwide on our website.
Yeah, it's really going to be fantastic. You'll want to tune in. It's a great event, and we got a lot of fun stuff planned. We're going to have a lot of local flavor on the show, and so really looking forward to it.
Well, that broadcast, as all of our broadcasts are when we're on location, will be powered by Verizon, and Verizon customers in Kentucky are enjoying all the benefits of the top-performing wireless network in the state as rated by the new Kentucky Root Score report by Root Metrics, which was released this past week. Now, Verizon's Kentucky network was rated number one in five categories and tied for first in a sixth. And you might be saying, okay, well, why is that important if I don't live in Kentucky? Well, with the Kentucky Derby coming up, this report ensures that area residents, along with the tens and hundreds of thousands of out-of-town racegoers who make their way to Louisville for the first Saturday in May, can count on their Verizon wireless mobile devices to share emails, pictures, and videos of the quintessential Kentucky experience. You can learn more by going to Verizon.com.
And not only is our race broadcast going to be live from there, but also Equine Forum. It will be the first international Equine Forum.
Yes, it will. Looking forward to that.
And it will be powered by Verizon as well.
Yes, it will be powered by Verizon. And just since we're talking international, one more little preview to throw out there for our listeners this year as we continue to expand the Horse Racing Radio Network in ways that we never imagined. We will also be making a trip to Woodbine up in Canada, another international broadcast. We'll do that on July 3rd this year for a broadcast of the historic Queen's Plate. Can't wait to get up there to Woodbine as well.
We are spanning the globe.
I think that's taken.
Yeah, I think it's taken.
All right, a busy second half of the program coming up. It kicks off with Ed DeRosa from Brisnet.com. He joins us in just a couple of moments. We'll be joined by Billy White, who is, of course, the man behind Jimmy John's and those franchises in Lexington. He's going to tell us about a brand-new restaurant coming to the Lexington area. And trainer Dallas Stewart at 9:45 Eastern will tell us all about Tom's Ready and his contenders going postward in the big stakes at the fairgrounds today. And don't forget, we have Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise Stallions with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, at 9:40 Eastern Time. We're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by six. Rachel's Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria just keeps battling back. Stop Charging Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Very busy program here this morning. Rolling on from Hallandale Beach, Florida, Gulfstream Park, where it is set to be a gorgeous, gorgeous day. Still some cloud cover left over from the evening, but those clouds set to dissipate, and it should be a great day with temperatures in the mid-70s as we continue our coverage of Gulfstream's championship meet. That exclusive coverage brought to you by First Dude, Florida's leading freshman sire, standing at Double Diamond Farm, and it continues this afternoon with our coverage of the $75,000 Melody of Colors Stakes, a 5-furlong turf sprint for the 3-year-old fillies, and looking forward to that coverage kicking off at 5:30 Eastern.
We'll be here, and it's going to be a beautiful day. So if you're around, come on out. Plus, we got the ladies' handicapping contest.
Girls got game
today. So all you gals that are in the Florida
area. Is the Baroness playing in that this year? No, she's shaking her head no.
No.
Why are you not playing it?
She has to produce the show.
She was one. You were 1-9 last year on the morning line. I know you finished up the track, but.
That is why. I must produce the show.
She must produce
the show. Cannot go on without me.
But no, but can't, you can put your picks in ahead of time, right? And then you just have to sit here and listen to our brilliance, and then you can go do whatever else you want to do.
Well, I just don't want to embarrass everybody. I want others to have a chance to win today.
Oh, now she's talking. Now you have to play if you're going to talk smack like that.
I'm pretty sure we have a guest on the line who's much better at this
stuff than
I am. She's going
to get herself a Pope Jude sheet and maybe sneak it in.
She's right. We do have a guest on the line. That's Ed DeRosa from Brisnet.com, and he joins the Baron and the Pontiff here on the Equine Forum. And don't forget, if you missed any portion of the first half of the show with Doug Bradar and Eddie Woods and our big announcement about our coverage of the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup, go back to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast at your leisure. Ed DeRosa is at the fairgrounds. He's kind of been everywhere the past couple of days. Ed, what's up?
Not too much. Just looking forward to a big day of racing here in New Orleans.
You sound thrilled.
I'm very excited. No, I think the climate change does some things to my voice and my nasal passages, but I'm really excited.
Well, of course, you can catch Ed DeRosa every Thursday night with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, on our Brisnet.com call-in show, which airs 6 to 7 Eastern, Sirius 220, XM 206. You can also catch Ed as part of our Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll at horseracingradio.net, and that whole poll presented by Brisnet.com. And, Ed, you were the lone contrarian after the first week of polling where everybody else had Mohamed as their top pick in the poll. You went a different direction, stuck with the champion Nyquist, and I'll tell you what, after the San Vicente last week, it looks like you're sitting pretty.
Yeah, it's kind of funny to think that the undefeated juvenile champion Breeders' Cup winner, but I guess some people have questions about his Kentucky Derby prowess, which is what ultimately the poll is. We're looking at Kentucky Derby contenders, but at this point, for connections who have been there before, gotten the job done, I'm going to trust his brilliance, and I think he deserves the top spot, and he'll be there until he shows otherwise, no matter what Mohamed does next week.
Well, he certainly was impressive in the San Vicente, and you know, all along people have been questioning his distance ability. They've been questioning how Doug's training him. They're questioning his schedule leading up to the Derby. And so far, the horse has come through every time. So I don't know why there's as many questions about him as there is, but he certainly proved to be a very solid racehorse and could possibly be a great one.
Yeah, and the foundation one's interesting to me. I'm a big believer in the two-year-old form for Derby hopefuls. It's a big reason I don't think we'll see a non-race two-year-old win the Derby, the so-called Apollo curse. Of course, we have had some close calls. Big Brown only raced once. Fusatchi Pegasus was a late starter, et cetera. But ultimately, I do think that brilliance at two means something. I think it's the reason American Pharoah didn't need as much racing at three or training as maybe some other horses will because of when he raced as a two-year-old. And we certainly see that with Nyquist. So I agree the foundation questions and what they're doing with him as a three-year-old, I'd certainly have some concerns if he was very lightly raced, but that wasn't the case as a two-year-old. So for me, it's just not a concern.
Ed, I can understand having Nyquist on top. I actually debated that myself because I kind of fall into the same, under the same philosophy as you do, where I say, okay, he's the champ. Nobody's beat him yet. Why shouldn't he be number one? With that said, I went with Mohamed, also undefeated. But the part that was most interesting to me is you ranked Mohamed third and you ranked Zulu number two. How come?
So, and this is part of for me, the fun of a poll and just how you sort of finesse the numbers as each individual voter. My thinking was, okay, I have Nyquist on top. He's the champ. I do think he is the most accomplished and has shown the most brilliance, so we'll put him number one. For number two, though, that was a case of maybe trying to get a little cute and have an opinion that no one else would have. Which, as it turned out, it ended up being Nyquist was enough to do that. But I feel like on these polls, you should take a shot a couple places, maybe have an opinion that really helps you stick out so people sort of know the horses you really like. I mean, Nyquist and Moeyman, having them 1-2 really doesn't tell anyone anything about what you think could happen. And Zulu is 2. You know, it really sticks your neck out to say, this is a horse I truly, really like. And I do. And he's only an allowance winner, and he's certainly going to have to show a big, big race in the Fountain of Youth. And if he doesn't, he'll drop. But we're early enough in the stage of Derby fever where these are the type of horses. Some of them go on, some don't. But when they do, they're the ones we're talking about in May. And if he's the one, then I'm going to look smart. And if he's not, no one's really going to remember that. I mean, we'll joke about it. I remember a couple years ago I had Mac the Man very high off some Turfway wins. And, you know, it's sort of a joke now and we laugh about it. But, I mean, it's a game of opinions. And people spend $1 million on yearlings who never start. I'm not going to sweat putting a horse like Zulu second if he doesn't pan out.
He's another very polarizing horse. People seem to either love him or hate him. I think Mike and I are in the love him camp like you. We've been very impressed with his performances so far. But there's other people. I think the most vociferous has been Andy Serling, who doesn't like him at all. But there, he seems to be another one of those horses where people are questioning his ability and his you know, his talent. And I don't know where that comes from, because he's looked very, very good the 2 times that he's run. So you've really kind of poked the bear with your top 2 selections there.
as I do for a time or two, but. People thought, you know, oh, it was a slop. Can we learn from that win? I mean, the important thing to me is he won, and he, I mean, yeah, what kind of field was it? But I have a big problem when people criticize races when horses do exactly what they're supposed to do. Now, if he had won by a lip or didn't change leads or hung or any number of things that would give you concern for a horse moving forward, I would certainly understand the criticism. But when a performance is exactly what you would expect, and he was 1-5, so again, I'm not saying like he really showed us something we didn't think we'd see, but when it was exactly what you'd expect, and that's your foundation for, you know, saying the horse is overrated and blah blah blah, I just don't understand that. And I'm not saying that means everyone should have him in their top 5. I realize I'm alone there, but to completely question his talent and ability, I mean, I might be wrong next week, and that's fine, but it just seems a little over the top.
Ed DeRosa from BristNet.com and the BristNet.com call-in show joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ed, the other thing I love about our Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll on the website, and by the way, if people haven't seen it yet, they can go to horseracingradio.net, and there's a link to it right there on our homepage, and you can see everybody's top 10 list, including a consensus of all the pollsters. But right up at the top of the poll, there is a banner that links to past performances for all of the 2016 Triple Crown nominations, and of course all those provided by BristNet.com. So if people are wondering about which horse they might like, or if they want to start kind of looking ahead to some of the major players that would show up or potentially show up on the first Saturday in May, what a great way to do it, and all of that for free at the top of that poll.
Yeah, definitely a great way to get familiar not only with the stars and the horses you're going to see on the poll week to week, but it's every Triple Crown nominee. So, for instance, you know, Zyconic, who's making his debut out of Zenyatta today, is in there, and many other maidens and unraced horses and things like that. But it's a great document to leaf through, because you really get a sense for all the horses that a Bob Baffert or a Todd Pletcher train as 3-year-olds. And, you know, we're getting kind of late in the year. I would say that if we haven't heard about a horse yet, the Derby is probably out of the question. But there's still plenty of time left to make not only other Triple Crown races, but even later in the year, horses who might have had a hiccup that owners had big plans for. We're going to see at Del Mar and Saratoga and things like that. And looking through this document just gives you a great read on all the different types of horses out there. And you might see some pedigrees you like to get excited about and things like that. So Triple Crown, a lot more than just the names we've already heard of, for sure.
Well, as we mentioned, you are joining us from New Orleans. You'll be at the fairgrounds this afternoon for that great program, including the Grade 2 Risen Star and the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra for the three-year-old fillies. But let's talk about the Risen Star for just a minute. I referenced at the top of the show that this has not been a great prep race in terms of producing a Derby winner. It's only happened once with War Emblem in 2002, and he was sixth in the Risen Star that year. Look at this race for a moment, and are we looking at a legitimate Derby contender in this year's renewal?
It's a pretty deep field, so I'd be shocked if we didn't have a contender from the technical word of that, yeah, horse will be in the Derby. But when I just look at some of the names we've already talked about that are on our poll, they'd all be big favorites in this spot. So to me, that gives me some pause that we're going to see a performance that would make me say, oh, wow, this is the new it contender, so to speak. But I would have said the same thing maybe about the Southwest last week, and sudden breaking news certainly turned a lot of heads. So that's why we run the race, and I'm certainly looking forward to it because it's a balanced field. But you're right, for as much success as Fairgrounds has had sending fillies to the Kentucky Oaks, they haven't seemed to found the Rosetta Stone when it comes to Derby. But this leads into the Louisiana Derby, which this year is 6 weeks before the Kentucky Derby. So they're, you know, juggling the schedule around, and maybe that'll help them get some different looks. And we'll be talking about some Louisiana Derby horses in, what are we, 9 weeks out? 10? 11?
Yeah. Yeah, from the Derby?
Yeah.
All right. We are right. 77 days, 8 hours, 18 minutes, and 12 seconds since you asked.
There it is. All right, 11. So, yeah. But to me, this is, you talk about a field you want to sink your teeth into, and I like a big long shot, and I was talking with Danny Zucker yesterday, and he gave out a couple 30-to-1 horses. I'm not quite that creative, but I think there's a lot of directions you can go in this race, and it's a great example of what I talked about, those Triple Crown nominees. There's some stakes performers, but there's also three horses coming in off a maiden win. It's just that time of year.
So who's your pick to click in the Veterans Ford Risen Star Stakes?
I went with California Speed and took Vistrea, hoping for a Gates of Wire trip under Edwin Maldonado.
Well, that's very creative.
Yeah.
I like that.
So he's 15-1 on the morning line, and I'm definitely giving a pass. Or I shouldn't say a pass, but I think, a pass for Tim taking five races to break his maiden. Normally I don't love when a horse needs two turns for that. But I look at it just seemed like the starts were very spaced out as a two-year-old, just really never found his stride, finally did get two turns. And I think this is the type of field where Maldonado's going to, I mean, he has to go for the lead. It's the only way this horse is going to win. And, you know, Motom, his connections have already said he's going to make one run. Aeroforce is still unproven on faster. Normally it's not a huge criticism of mine, but as the favorite in an 11-horse field, because of the two scratches, I'm willing to definitely use it as a mark against them. And I think there's a big difference between the speed you normally see at Fairgrounds and a California shipper coming in with his own rider, and I'm hoping we can steal one at a big price.
Ed, how about on the filly side of things with the Rachel Alexandra? We'll see some Oaks contenders, or at least Oaks hopefuls, go to the post in there. And I mentioned at the top of the show that the is poor as the Risen Star has been in terms of a race that produces the Derby winner, the Rachel Alexandra has been a great spot for Kentucky Oaks winners over the years. So how about that race? Who are some of the major players?
Yeah, the conversation certainly starts with Stage Play, who has been brilliant in her victories and has looked good at Fairgrounds. And, you know, I've heard from some people, and it's people that normally do not pick the favorite who just think she's invincible in this spot. Maybe it's the fact that I haven't been around here other than the last few days, so I don't have the perspective of how good she's looked in the morning and how well she trains here, et cetera. But, you know, on the Bristnet speed rating, she's by no means so fast that I'm looking to bet her at odds on in this spot. And it's a California flavor for my picks. Usually would say West Coast bias isn't my thing, but Forever Darling's really interesting to me. I'm more than happy to draw a line through her Breeders' Cup. Songbird was in there, and granted, she was never in contention anyway, so it's not like she was running with her, but it was just a different level, and it didn't go her way that day. But the Santa Ynez, to me, marked that she's on her way, and she's stretching out here, but I have no problem with 8.5 furlongs for Congrats Philly, and I think with stage play taking as much money as she will get a fair price.
Ed DeRosa from BristNet.com, our special guest here on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll encourage you to check out the Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll presented by BristNet.com on our website. Get all the past performances for the Triple Crown nominees here in 2016, courtesy of BristNet.com. They are completely free when you go to the Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll page on our website. And, of course, catch Ed every Thursday night with the BristNet.com call-in show as he's joined by the Big A, Anthony Stabile, Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And that program comes your way Thursday evenings from 6 to 7 Eastern. Ed, you're a busy man. I know it's been a great trip for you down there. So enjoy the day, safe travels, and thanks so much for everything you do, my friend.
My pleasure. Thanks for putting the poll out. It's going to be a fun year keeping track of each other's picks.
Ed DeRosa here on the Horse Racing Radio Network receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Jude, one other sidebar there. BristNet, Twin Spires, they're all kind of commingled, so to speak, even though they're different companies. And Twin Spires has been great to us the past couple of years in terms of doing different things with our program. Last year we came out with the idea of an HRN Twin Spires bet back wager on all of our live race coverage, and that continues this afternoon with the Melody of Colors Stakes here at Gulfstream when our coverage hits the air at 5:30. But you don't have to wait till then. People can go bet that wager right now at twinspires.com, and here's the way it works. You go to twinspires.com/HRRN. You're going to make a $7 win bet and a $7 show bet on one horse in today's Melody of Colors Stakes. That's a $14 total wager. If your horse finishes worse than third, of course you're going to lose your $14 bet. But it doesn't matter because Twin Spires is going to refund your entire wager. So it's basically a free $14 wager at twinspires.com/HRRN, and you can go play it right now.
Yeah, it's a great idea, and it's a lot of fun to play. If you like a long shot, you can take a big stab, and maybe you get lucky. If you don't get lucky, you get your money back.
Yeah, why not? Worth a shot.
Absolutely.
And again, it's all basically a no-risk wager for you. Twinspires.com/HRRN. You can play that every time we're on the air with our live racing coverage. And again, this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern, is the Melody of Color Stakes here at Gulfstream Park. Time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. KTBIF pays $10.5 million in awards. Mare numbers also up. The Kentucky Thoroughbred Breeders Incentive Fund horses, well, they all won 260 graded stakes in the United States and 31 group races in four other countries under a program that paid more than $10.5 million last year. The KTBIF, which is funded by the 6% state sales tax on stallion fees, also showed growth again in the number of mares nominated to the program. For the first time, Darley topped the KTBIF list with awards in excess of $260,000 with 91 wins, including three at Kentucky racetracks, according to the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission statistics. The KTBIF gets 80% of the overall Kentucky Breeders Incentive Fund, with 13% for standardbreds and 7% for other breeds. And that's your Blood Horse news update for this morning. Don't forget to sign up for Blood Horse Daily, briefing you on important breeding, racing, and sales news. Sign up to have a PDF emailed to you in a daily newsletter or download the app on your smartphone today. You can do it all at bloodhorse.com/daily. We'll step away for a quick break. When we come back, Billy White's going to be here with us for a short time to tell us all about a brand new franchise opening in the Lexington area. So when you make your way to Keeneland this spring, you're going to want to enjoy this new franchise, this new restaurant in Lexington, Kentucky. We'll tell you about that one next. And Dallas Stewart joins us at the end of the program. Plus, Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise Stallions. It's all ahead on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Performance.
And pioneer of the Nile, Derek Gomez, has won the Santa Anita Derby.
Gainesway Stallion Empire Maker has produced 11 Grade 1 winners, including two-time Breeders' Cup Distaff winner, multiple Eclipse champion, and six-time Grade 1 winner, Royal Delta. Other Grade 1 winners by Empire Maker include Emollient, In Lingerie, Country Star, Mushka, Acoma, Icon Project, Last Full Measure, and Grace Hall. The heir of Mr. Prospector's best classic line, Empire Maker boasts an impeccable pedigree. Out of Broodmare of the Year, Tussauds.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
And they're off in New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Flatter, a graded son of AP Indy, continues to rank among leading sires. The sire of graded stakes horses in every crop, he consistently has runners at the highest level.
Upstart is pulling away to win the Holy Bowl.
But a very stylish performance from Terrace.
Kobe's back is back, wins it for Gary Stevens.
Powerful on the track and fashionable in the sales room, Flatter is from a top sire family. Flatter at Claiborne Farm.
Come on out to Santa Anita today. Our main event is the Grade 2 $200,000 Buena Vista Stakes for older fillies and mares at 1 mile on turf. Come early today and get signed up for our $40 handicapping contest, and you can compete for $800 in daily prize money. Santa Anita has the biggest betting pools in the country with $500,000 guaranteed in the late pick four each weekend and $300,000 guaranteed in the late four each weekday. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Verrazano, brilliant winner of six of his first seven starts, including the Grade 1 Wood Memorial.
And they're coming down to the finish, and it will be Verrazano!
And the Haskell, by a record 9 3/4 lengths, earning a buyer figure of 116, the highest of any three-year-old in 2013.
And Verrazano and John Velasquez have blown away their competition!
Verrazano, a great-looking son of More Than Ready, standing in Ashford.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Penwith and Luis Saez turn for home in front in the Royal Delta. Sandiva, second, trying to make a late run. And then it's Best Behavior in third as they come into the final 16th. Penwith is in control. Penwith has won the Royal Delta from Sandiva.
Godolphin's Penwith was a game winner of the Grade 2 Royal Delta Stakes at Gulfstream last weekend. The son of Darley stallion Bernardini defeated favored Sandiva by three open lengths for trainer Kieran McLaughlin, making her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley stallion Bernardini, a proven sire of both the Superstar Racehorse and Sales Ring Smash. A Travers winner who sired Travers winners in his first two crops, Bernardini is coming off a tremendous year in 2015, siring four Grade 1 winners, second only to Tappet. Bernardini is also the sire of three TDN Rising Stars and three graded winners already in 2016. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're at the top of the stretch, and Brandy's Girl turns first is strictly the one to beat. R. Kinsley Doll on the grandstand side might be the danger with Silent Prayer continuing to box on. And here's Rontos Lily from far back. She's running on well, but nobody's catching Brandy's Girl. Brandy's Girl, an effortless win here. Paco Lopez has not moved an inch, and she's five or six in front. Brandy's Girl, impressively. Silent Prayer second, Ronto's Lily third, our Kinsley Doll fourth. Chief Attraction, complete your high five.
Baron and the Pontiff. That's Mike Penna and Jude Fell. We're back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We are live once again from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, getting ready for our coverage of the Melody of Colors Stakes this afternoon, kicking off at 5:30 Eastern. Brandy's Girl, one of the major players in there. She won that race, the Juvenile Filly Sprint, which was at Gulfstream Park West on November 7th. She makes her three-year-old debut this afternoon for trainer Edwin Broom and Rafael Hernandez in the saddle.
Yeah, she's a very fast filly, and she might be able to give the favorite a little tussle on the front end. If the favorite doesn't break, she could be on an easy lead. That's a very tough race. It's a small field, but it's contentious and a really good betting race.
And maybe a good horse to throw in there for your HRN bet back at twinspires.com. You can play it right now, twinspires.com/HRRN. If you're just joining us, it's a no-risk $14 wager on today's Melody of Colors. Check it out, twinspires.com/HRRN. Well, I told you that if you're going to be coming to Keeneland in April, or if you live in the Lexington, Kentucky area, then you want to check out the hottest new pizza joint in Lexington, which is coming next Saturday. It is Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint. And our good friend Billy White, who you've heard on the program multiple times over the years, he is one of the franchisees involved with Jimmy John's, and now they're branching out into the pizza category as well. Billy is with us now here on the Equine Forum. Billy, welcome to the program, my friend.
Good morning, gentlemen. What a big day for you. All kinds of announcements down there. You guys, there's Toby. Toby says good morning, too. I figured he'd get on the action. You guys are going international at the Rosas, picking long shots at the fairgrounds. You're having a big day.
Yeah.
Is Toby going to get lots of leftovers from Uncle Matteo's? There probably won't be any leftovers, right?
I don't think so, but he likes that outside porch there. He's going to be scrounging around, I have a feeling. So he may be on the short list of canines not invited, I think. Congratulations on your international flavor, guys. I thought the big announcement was our Uncle Matteo's opening, but you trumped us with the Barbados move today. That's awesome, and I'm so glad that you decided to do a sponsor trip. That is so nice of you to take all your sponsors down there.
That's the kind of guys we are.
it's funny because that was part of our deal. We were going to invite you to come with us, but we thought you'd be too busy with the opening of Uncle Matteo's. So, sorry,
I'm
brother.
I'm sure my bus ticket is in the mail. I believe it. Yeah, we are busy, and thank you for the intro. We are getting ready to open Uncle Matteo's Pizza next week. We'll be open on Saturday. That's our grand opening, and I'm telling you, this place is going to be a lot of fun. Great food. Todd Sackett and the crew are down there right now. Making final preparation. We're have training all this week, making pizzas, and we're excited about it. We're going to be right on the corner of Euclid and Marquee, right in Chevy Chase, right down from our Jimmy John's, right down from the Jimmy John's, and right next to that Fort Kroger there, right on the corner. Come out their side door, and we're right across the street. We got a couple big garage doors that open up to a little half-wall patio. We'll have some seating out there, and this is just phenomenal pizza. And we got on with these guys because they do the same thing as Jimmy John's, and that is prep everything right at the restaurant every day. There is no freezer in the place. We prep, I think it's, I'm going to get this wrong, but 25 plus vegetables, from portobello mushrooms to sauteed mushrooms, sun-dried tomatoes, fresh-cut jalapenos, and 15 different proteins and meats. So grilled chicken, jerk chicken, you know, chicken sausage, Italian sausage, two different ways, hot and mild. So it's phenomenal pizza, phenomenal salads, and a real nice menu, and very affordable, and it is fast casual. We talked about that before. By the time you order walk down the line with your pizza maker, we'll have it in the oven, and by the time you sit down and use the Coca-Cola Freestyle machine or get yourself a pitcher of Cougar Bait or Bud Light or Stella or a glass of wine, your pizza's going to come out in about 5 minutes. So it's going to be a fun place. Lots of TVs, We'll always have the games on, have a little Keeneland running when they're going, and we're looking forward to it. We put in a lot of work, Todd, and the crew down there put in a lot of work, and we're ready to open, so we're excited, as you can tell.
Yeah, you're going to have a nice selection of craft beers, and that's something that a lot of people really enjoy nowadays. So that's another big plus for your company.
You know what? It is, Jude, and because the thing I've learned about Lexington in the 16 years we've owned the Jimmy John's, and in the short time I've been living down here and splitting my time between Chicago and here, this is a great community. You know how much we love the horse industry and the people involved there. You know, we've been together a long time as your sponsor. Same as goes with the craft brew guys from DH at Country Boy, the Blue Stallion guys, All Tech. This is local people. These are community people, and we want to be part of that. We have 9 Jimmy John's here, and we're going to be even more like a neighborhood place with Matty-O's. Doors open. We'll be down there all the time. You come in with your kids, your dog, you know, come in and watch a little bit of the football game or watch the whole basketball game or watch Keeneland races, whatever. It's going to be important, and those craft beers and the local beers are very important. Those guys have worked hard to establish their brand in this area, and we want to support them.
Billy, I just got a note from the Baroness, and all it said was gluten-free. There will
yes.
be gluten-free pizza too, right?
Absolutely. We have gluten-free crust. Now, I know that you, me, and Jude are not gluten-free or vegan or any of that stuff, but we have that available. We do have vegan cheese. We have a special area. If your allergies need us to prep it at a different spot, we have that all taken care of. Yes, gluten-free. And you know what? It's very important for people now. Jude, we're going to have grilled tofu for you. If you need grilled tofu, we've got that on your for your pizza. So
perfect. I'm aligned.
I like your new name, though, the Pontiff's Pizza Place. I like that. Maybe we'll use that on some of our menus.
There you go.
Billy White here on the horse racing.
I'm sorry, Michael. Go ahead,
you cut me off. I was resetting you. I was doing a reset of the guest, and you cut me off. You know it's my show, right? You realize that. I know you've been a sponsor for a long time, but you know this is my show, right?
Yeah, don't give a salesman a microphone. You know that.
Well, look, Billy, we got to move on. I have to get to a commercial break. We've got our Right or Wrong segment and Dallas Stewart coming up in a few minutes, but tell people one more time, Uncle Matty-O's next Saturday. They're going to hear a lot about it on this program over the coming weeks, but set the scene one more time for us.
Yeah, I will. I surely will. Grand opening for Uncle Matty-O's in Chevy Chase at the corner of Euclid and Marquee next Saturday from 11 to 2, free pizza for anybody that walks in, a free 9-inch pizza with 3 toppings.
Ooh.
If you like us on Facebook, you get a coupon that you can redeem for a free pizza on Friday. Kids will eat free on Sunday, and we've got Ben Lacey, the award-winning guitarist from Lexington, he will be playing Saturday from 11 to 2. So come see us. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're all going to be hanging out, having some pizza and maybe a couple cold beverages, and we want everybody to come out and say hello and introduce themselves.
That's going to be awesome. Billy White here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Billy, appreciate it. Good luck. We'll see you here coming up this week.
Thanks, fellas. Don't forget your SPF 40.
And he's the one with the bald head, right? Well, I'm not far behind.
I'm not going there. I'm not discussing.
The peninsula?
The peninsula.
All right, we're going to get to a break here momentarily, but do want to remind you before we do that Tonalist, Mr. Speaker, Honor Code, and Liam's Map reinforce the power of Lanes End Stallions. This 2016 roster builds on Lanes End's legacies of AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike. And as the new crop joins the ranks of current standing stallions, Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip, the successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues at Lanes End. You can visit lanesend.com to learn more. We're back with Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise Stallions and Dallas Stewart, next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Get ready, Lexington.
What is it?
Pizza! The original Create Your Own Pizza Joint is coming this February.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Visit UncleMattios.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello,
boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Hollywood Gold Cup winner First Dude earned $1.4 million while defeating many of the top horses of his generation and placing in most of America's best three-year-old races. Trainer Dale Romans is effusive in his praise for the Double Diamond Farm star.
First Dude was a fabulous racehorse. He was a freight train full of power and all class. From the day he came into the barn, we knew he was going to be one of our best ones.
Transferring his class to the breeding shed, First Dude's progeny earned over $1 million in 6 months, propelling him to the top spot among Florida's freshman sires.
Here comes Floradora trying to run down Skatoosh. Skatoosh trying to get there, but Floradora with the momentum up to do it.
Class on the racetrack, success in the breeding shed, and a value price $7,500 stud fee. First Dude. Visit DoubleDiamondFarm.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by two-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sires a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile. Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giant's Causeway, standing at Penn Oak Stud.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
Don't forget, if you missed any portion of today's Equine Forum, go to our website, horseracingradio.net. A podcast will be available for you to listen to at your leisure. You can also check out all of our other shows, including Jock Talk, Trainer Talk, our Bristnet.com call-in show, and our weekend stakes preview, previewing all the big races coming up this weekend and every weekend. All those podcasts available for you at horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Della Stewart set to join us in just about 5 minutes from right now, but before we get to that, it is time for your weekly Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions, home to Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother, Heavy Breathing. You can learn more by visiting sunrisestallions.com, and I'm joined now from the Big A, from up in New York. Big A, good morning.
Hi, Baron. Congratulations on Barbados. I know the Pontiff must be ecstatic.
He is ecstatic. He has not stopped smiling for the past few days since we've gotten all the pieces put together. So you're 100% right. You ready to do this right or wrong, my friend?
Born ready, brother. Born ready.
All right, let's
right
do it.
Right or wrong? Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
Our thanks to Nikki Zito for the little intro there. Right or wrong, am I right? Hey, Big A, here we go. Number one, in the hopes of cashing in on a $1 million bonus, trainer Doug O'Neill has said Nyquist will run next in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. Big A, this is a smart decision, right or wrong?
This is a terrible decision. That is wrong. Completely out of his comfort zone down in South Florida. He's the king out in Southern California. Him and Bob Baffert share that throne. I would have stayed out there. I don't like the whole prep season. You know, two preps is not a problem. One of them can't be 7/8. The other one certainly can't be all the way across the country. When you got the Santa Anita Derby right in your own backyard, I think it's a terrible decision.
All right, wait a minute. I'm looking back through the history of the Kentucky Derby. I want to see how many Derby winners the Big A has trained. Wait, I don't see any Big A. I see one for Doug O'Neill, though. Hey, you know, I think you can look at this from a couple of different angles. If you're not a fan of the two prep races and shipping cross-country to tackle the number one ranked prospect on the Derby trail, Mohey Men, on his home track, then you absolutely hate this decision. On the other hand, if you stay home, you're still likely to have to face a horse like More Spirit in the Santa Anita Derby, who looks like he could be any kind, and you don't have the additional $1 million. I say, you're the champ. Nobody's beaten you yet. You want to silence all the critics and everyone who doesn't have you ranked number one. You come east. You knock off the best horses in South Florida. You go to Kentucky as the favorite for the Kentucky Derby, and you laugh all the way to the bank. I say, it's a good decision.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, number two. One-third of this afternoon's Risen Star Stakes at the Fairgrounds is comprised of sons of Red Hot Stallion Uncle Mo, including Morning Line second choice Mo Tom. So, Big A, with that said, who you got? A son of Uncle Mo will win this year's Risen Star. Is that right or wrong?
You know, I think it's right. Now, if you listen to the weekends, the Express That Weekend Stakes preview, I made my official selection Gunrunner, but I had a tough time separating Gunrunner and Uncle Walter. When you take Uncle Walter, you take Forever Mo, and you take the winner of the LeCompte, Mo Tom, and lump them all together, you'd have to think Uncle Mo has them over the proverbial barrel in this Risen Star today. I'm going to say right. I think he's got a strength in numbers, and he's got the right number. He's got the right horses as part of his numbers. I think Uncle Walter's going to run a big race today. I think Mo Tom's going to come running as usual. I think Uncle Mo puts the Risen Star under his resume today.
All right, see, I think it all depends on how you feel about Mo Tom and Uncle Walter, because the other two contenders that we're talking about are 12-1 and 30-1 respectively. And with the Kentucky Jockey Club winner Aero Force, the talented Gun Runner from the Asmussen Barn, and LeCompte runner-up, Tom's Ready, looking for a little revenge, I'll take my chances and say that the answer to this question is wrong. I think it goes to a horse that is not by Uncle Mo. And look, the numbers are in my favor. It's 8 of the 12. I'm going to take my chances and say that the answer to the question is absolutely wrong.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, Nikki Zito doing the honors for us. Big A, really do appreciate it, and we'll encourage people to check out the Express Bet Weekend Stakes preview show with you and Ellis Starr. That's on our website right now, and, of course, you're previewing all the big races, including that Risen Star Stakes.
Yeah, Baron, I'm just throwing this out there. If we go to the Melbourne Cup, I'm going. I'm just letting you know that right now.
You don't fly.
I watched a great – give me 1 minute here because I wanted to tell the nation this. I watched a great movie this week called The Cup, based on Australian riding champion Damien Oliver's journey back in 2002. His brother passed away about 10 days before the Melbourne Cup, and he struggled with the decision to ride or not, and he rode, and he won the Melbourne Cup for Dermot Weld on a horse named Media Puzzle. It is a fantastic movie. It's called The Cup, and it's gotten me all fired up to get down to Australia to the Melbourne Cup one day. So when we get there, I know we will, I'm going.
Yeah, it's on my bucket list as well. It's going to happen at some point. We'll start with Barbados. We'll go to Canada for the Queen's Plate, and then we'll keep an eye out for the Melbourne Cup. Big A, appreciate it. Got to let you go. A word from Sunrise Stallions is next, and then trainer Dallas Stewart here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Dortmund, another superb performance. And Coach Inch did it by a neck.
Big Brown, the only New York Stallion to produce Grade 1 and Grade 2 winners in 2015. The leading New York Stallion earner with 2015 runners winning over $5 million. And the only New York Stallion to supply a Kentucky Derby place son.
Big Brown, standing at Duchess View Farm. Contact Eric Bishop, eric@sunrisestallions.com.
Don't forget our coverage of the Florida Derby on April 2nd, presented by 2008 Florida Derby winner Big Brown, standing, of course, as you heard, at Duchess View Farm. You can learn more by going to sunrisestallions.com. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, getting ready to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum, and can't think of a better way to do it than by being joined by a trainer by the name of Dallas Stewart, who is going to be very active with his three-year-olds in a couple of stakes races at the fairgrounds this afternoon. He sends out Lemon Drop Bell in the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes for the three-year-old fillies, and Tom's Ready in the Grade 2 Risen Star Stakes, looking for a little revenge after finishing second behind Mo Tom in the LeCompte last time out. Dallas, appreciate the time, my friend.
Thank you. Very good. I can barely hear you.
All right. Is this a little bit better now? We'll bump it up a notch for you. How's that?
There you go. That sounds good.
All right. Excellent. Hey, listen, well, you know, you look at what Dallas Stewart has done over the past few years in the Kentucky Derby. You've saddled four starters in the Derby. You've had two runner-ups. So, look, I already have you penciled into my Exacta box this year, but can we please get Dallas Stewart on top?
Well, we're doing everything we can, you know, to do, you know, to get there. It's a hard thing to accomplish, and, you know, I've been fortunate to train some nice horses, and hopefully it'll continue on. But we've got a nice horse, and Tom's Ready today, so he's developing, and see if he's up for the challenge.
He had a little bit of a rough trip. I mean, being wide all the way and then opening up in the stretch, getting beat by his stablemate. You got to feel like if he has a little cleaner trip, he's going to run a big race. And you got Johnny Velasquez. Nobody better at working out a trip than Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, you there?
Yeah. We're here.
Yep, we got you.
Sorry, I just switched over to my car. I'm sorry. He's run twice here at the meet. He's one of two horses in the race that have run twice, that has two races over the track. And after his last race, he's followed it up with two really good works, a minute, galloped out in 13. Looks to me like he's put on weight. You know, all those things add up good for me for a good race.
Dallas, what were your thoughts on that LeCompte performance?
Well, I thought he ran well. I mean, I wish Sean would have waited a little bit. He said he really didn't know the horse, which, I mean, you know, that's the way it is, I guess. But he pulled the trigger at the 3/8 pole. He took off like a rocket, opened up, and got beat. So you just think if he would have been a little, you know, waited a little longer, it might have made a difference. But we'll see. You know, he ran really well, and he got beat by a nice horse. So there you go.
Yeah, well, it's the same ownership, Mo Tom and Tom's Ready. Does that add a little pressure to you?
No, I mean, you know, we're both training for the Bensons, and, you know, it's great to train for them. They're just getting back into the game. They're fortunate to have two nice horses, Mo Tom and Tom's Ready, performing today. So hopefully it'll turn up good for them.
You know, Dallas, this is going to be his eighth career start, and so often we hear about horses racing a little bit less. They want to come into the Derby as a fresh horse if they make it that far, but you have a great foundation with this horse. Tell me about the game plan with him all along.
Well, he's just a real fresh horse. Like, he doesn't act like the racing bothers him at all. You know, I don't see a lot of wear and tear on him. He's, knock on wood, he's a very sound horse. His weight is good. His attitude's good. You know, it looks to me like he looks forward to running. So I know he's probably run one or two more times than a lot of other three-year-olds at this stage. But I don't think he's been pressed on and pushed very much. I think he's a fresh, fit horse. I really do.
His last three speed figures have improved. He looks like he's headed in the right direction. Do you think he'll continue to develop? He certainly has the bottom side to run all day.
Right. He's got the bottom side. He's got broad brush there. So, you know, it's the time of year that we really find out what we have. That's all I can say.
Well, you know, conversely, your three-year-old filly, Lemon Drop Bell, doesn't have nearly as much seasoning. She's making her third lifetime start in the Rachel Alexandra today. But, Dallas, she's shown you nothing but good things in her two starts. Tell me about her.
Yeah, I mean, she raced at Woodbine. I picked her up after that. Chuck Dickey owns her, and he bred her. And she ran a bang-up race last time. She ran second, just beaten by a very nice Tappet filly that's 2 for 2. You know, she's put on weight since the race. There's another one that's put on weight. She looks good. She's got a big stride. We're happy with her. So, it's going to be a tough race for her. If she runs 1, 2, 3, it should be a big plus.
Well, and you get another rider change here with Junior Alvarado getting a leg up aboard her for the very first time. Tell me about Junior and why you think he will fit her pretty well in this spot today.
You know, he's just a great rider. I've ridden him a lot in New York, and he's won races for me. So it's nothing not to like there.
You know, Dallas, you've been down at the fairgrounds for quite some time now, several years. You've made your way down there, and that's kind of been your winter home. Why is fairgrounds so good for you and your program and the horses you are trying to get to races like the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, you know, Mike, the surface is great. The weather's good. You can really train on them here. We don't miss any days. Very rarely do we miss a day, let me say that. You know, you can train them. You can really train hard on them, and they seem to handle it well here. It's a good atmosphere. It's the third oldest track in America, so it's proven and it's tested.
And it's your home track, too, so it's always nice to be home. Training at home, there's nothing like it.
Nothing like it. You got plenty of gumbo and crawfish to eat.
Beautiful.
He's trainer Dallas Stewart here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And the Saints play here too, Mike.
Quite frankly, I didn't even want to bring that up because of what we saw from the Saints last year. But since you brought it up, Dallas, they're going to need a strong draft, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. We need defense all the way. You know, our offense is pretty good. You know, you got Drew Brees and got some players that can play over there, but, you know, you got to tackle somebody.
Yeah, they're the wrong shade of black and gold, though, my friend.
Well, you guys got a pretty good team. You got to be pretty happy with them.
Yeah, be all right. A little disappointing with Heath Miller retiring yesterday, but some great memories from Big Heath.
Oh, yeah, you guys had some good years. Well, all right, my man, I got to roll. I got to go train.
Go get him, Dallas Stewart. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot.
That guy's the greatest.
So much fun.
Everybody thinks it's their show.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, that's it. I'm out.
Second half, we didn't even need you. These guys are running their own program.
Yeah, we don't even have to introduce people or tell them when they're done. They just they come and go as they please.
There you go. What the heck? You've lost control, Baron.
Dallas is phenomenal. Yeah, and by the way, like all of our guests, going to get a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And we do encourage you to embrace your passion by visiting embracetherace.com. Man, busy show, huh?
It was. I'm breathless.
Yeah,
I feel like I ran 6 miles this morning.
Of course, that
I don't
big
look
announcement.
Like it.
No. Our big announcement.
Big announcement
that we made in the first half of the program for people that are just joining us or missed it. We will be heading to Barbados on Saturday, March 5th, for our first broadcast ever hosted from an international venue. When we broadcast live from Garrison, Savannah, for the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup. Owner Ken Ramsey going to look to make a little history as he's going to try to win it for the third consecutive year. He would be the first American owner ever to pull off that feat.
Yeah, that'll be exciting to watch, and it's always a great race. Looks like there's going to be a pretty large field as usual. The final entries are taken on Monday, so we'll have a better idea of the field next week, and we'll try to get that out to you as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Our coverage on Saturday, March 5th, begins at 3 o'clock Eastern, and it's going to be kind of a doubleheader. We'll kick it off from Garrison, Savannah, with that coverage of the Sandy Lane Gold Cup, and then we'll throw it to Big A, Anthony Stabile, and Little A, Acacia Courtney, as they take you through the races here in the States. That's also the Gotham Stakes Day. We'll have coverage of the Gotham for you on the network, and we'll have coverage of all the big races, 3 greatest stakes on that program at Gulfstream that afternoon. So you can join us 3 to 6 Eastern Time, Saturday, March 5th, for a little bit of history in the first ever broadcast hosted from an international venue here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah, it's going to be a great card that day all over the country here in the United States. And, of course, the Sandy Lane Gold Cup, can't beat it. And looking forward to the stakes action that day.
This afternoon, our coverage of the Melody of Colors Stakes at Gulfstream continues. We continue with Saturdays at Gulfstream and our coverage of the championship meet. But that broadcast comes up at 5:30 Eastern Time. You won't want to miss it, and you won't want to miss playing the Twin Spires HRN bet back on that race. Learn more by going to twinspires.com/HRR. N. Our thanks to our special guests here this morning, including Doug Bradar, who joined us in the first half of the program. Eddie Woods was here as well. Got a chance to talk with Ed DeRosa a short time ago and preview some of the Derby horses listed in our Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll, which you can see at horseracingradio.net. Billy White from Jimmy John's and Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint was with us to break some big news on that front. And, of course, Dallas Stewart here just a short time ago. So we've covered an awful lot of ground. By the way, only about a little less than a minute, JT. Who wins the Melody of Colors today?
Wow, that's a good question. I think it's a real tough race. The favorite in there, she's undefeated. Cash back, she's 2 for 2. She's got a big shot. But if she gets pressed early, I think maybe High Holiday will come out of the clouds and catch them all.
I want to say thank you to our producer, Lee Della Pina, back in our Lexington studio. Of course, the Baroness, my beautiful wife, Michelle, on site with us here. And Chauncey, Sean C., for handling all the social media this morning. For the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena, and nothing good comes of deviation, so go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados. We'll see you soon.